Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The College Baseball Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. All right, already. Welcome back to the College Baseball Experience. Good morning, college baseball fans. It is 5:33 a.m. I'm your host, Noah Bienick, a.k.a. 77. Grinding out Super Regionals, baby. Oh, man, it was a great, great day of baseball. The picks on Wednesday's podcast didn't go great. However, I told you that I didn't feel confident about it. I thought it was a very, very tight slate. I think the whole weekend is really tight. I think that if you're going to want to play a favorite, you're going to have to lay some juice. And I tried to get cute there, played Oral Roberts, hit an 8-0 lead. They gave it all up to Oregon, pissed it away. Oregon comes back from 8-0 down. First time ever that has ever happened in the Super Regional round of the NCAA tournament. Teams that were down at least 8 runs were 0-96. Now they're 1-96, and that was one of the bets that I had played for yesterday's Super Regional action. The other bet that did come through was TCU. I had them in a parlay with LSU. We played that on Wednesday prior to LSU just getting steamed all the way up to minus 270, where we're going to see them at today. So, TCU LSU moneyline parlay is still in play. That was my favorite bet of the entire weekend, or at least of all the first games and even the series prices, which we got more series prices listed. So we'll run through those again here today. I do like one of them. However, I already have that in my portfolio, I guess you could say. The other two games, so I mentioned Oregon's comeback against Oral Roberts, and I mentioned TCU. I mean, that game didn't go as I expected, but they still win. They cover the run line as well, which is a bet that I had. The first game of the day, Virginia against Duke. Oh, man, that one was super close, super tight throughout the whole game, and that's kind of how I saw the series played out. Like, I was like, I can't pick a side in any of these games based on how Duke handles their pitching staff. There really isn't like a mismatch in any of the games that Duke is going to run out there. And that's how it went out today. And you saw it where Duke jumps out to an early 2-0 lead with a bomb. Virginia claws back, and this thing was 5-4. There was two runners on, Jake Geloff at the plate. Fly ball to the warning track for the final out of the game. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that for the first game of the Super Regionals. And the fourth game, I don't even know how this one is number four that I'm mentioning here, but just a heavyweight bout between Florida and South Carolina. Two of them just trading blow after blow. South Carolina, early home run. Florida, what's the kid's name again? Why is his name escaping me? Hit two home runs today. I don't know why it's escaping me, but yeah, there was Shelmet, I think it was. I don't know why I'm blanking on the kid's name. I think it was Tyler Shelmet is his name. But yeah, he blasted two bombs to get Florida the win, and one of them was a huge insurance home run, solo shot in the eighth, because South Carolina in the top of the ninth comes out and they hit a solo bomb. So just great games all around. All four of them were awesome, and I'm hoping that we get eight even better ones here today, and I'm ready to run through them with you guys here. But first, I need to tell you about Edge Boost, because this episode is supported by them, and they support SGPN big time. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be an extremely valuable tool. Imagine what you can get with an increased bankroll. Get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. Double down on a favorite bet that you like, or even to create an awesome middle or hedge. Edge Boost isn't some sleazy loan shark, as they charge zero interest. Do you know of a way that you can access more money to place on your favorite bets without paying any interest? Edge Boost, baby. They can also be a part of a responsible gambling plan, as you can set up daily / weekly or monthly limits across all of your betting accounts in one place. Support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge, and you must be 21 years old or older to use it. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, let's jump into the games. Shout out to Obi Bryant, 5:36 a.m. in the YouTube live chat. He goes, appreciate you, bro. I appreciate you for joining me here this early on a Saturday morning talking college baseball gambling. We'll start with the one that, you know, it's not available for everybody. It's Alabama and Wake Forest. For some reason, the legal online sports books here in America just haven't offered this game or ever haven't offered this team in the last month here during May and early June in Alabama. So I'm just hoping that they get eliminated here quick and we can just have a College World Series free of teams that we can't bet on. But real talk, Bama, they're 10-9 on the road this season. Wake Forest, 32-3 at the couch. For me, I project here that I'm not projecting. These were listed starters, so you can feel comfortable with these going on the mound today. Luke Holman for Alabama, he's 2-0 with a 2.53 ERA, 41 strikeouts, 12 walks in 32 innings, with a 1.68 opponent's batting average against him, a 2.50 ERA in his last three appearances. And for Wake Forest, Rhett Lauder, 14-0 on the year, a 1.77 ERA, 125 strikeouts, 20 walks in 101.2 innings, a 2.07 batting average against him, and he has been human in his last three appearances. He has a 2.84 ERA. So now we'll jump into the handicap, where for me, I just think you have to find a way to play Wake Forest if you're able to. Whether it's a money line parlay or you put the run line in, just get a piece of this Deeks team. Because last year, I was one of the few, I don't even know if there were any, that was calling for Notre Dame on the money line and in the series against Tennessee. I just don't see it here from Alabama against this Wake Forest team. I don't see any weakness in the Deeks here like I did with Tennessee last season. So I just think that you've got to take – Any way that you can dice up Wake Forest, I think you have to. And Underdog Fantasy, they have college baseball props. That's right. College baseball player props are available for the first time ever. Yesterday, I tweeted it out that they had dropped lines I quickly handicapped them. I tried my best. It literally the first time all year that we've had them. So I went off of some trends. I played Braden Taylor over 2.5 total bases. I think it was either 2.5 total bases or 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. He struck out twice, and I had Matt Jacek's under strikeouts. So the correlation that I tried to play for actually went counter me and fucked everybody that maybe took it. I live in Michigan, so I'm not able to play underdog. However, each matchup that is available on underdog, I have my favorite play for underdog on both teams that are available. There's 5 games that you're able to pick, and Alabama Wake Forest is not one of the ones that you can't pick. So surprisingly, we have odds on this Crimson Tide Wake Forest game here. I'm going to read off every one of them just so, like, if you guys hear one that you are interested in, you can go to Underdog Fantasy, use code SGPN, and you will get a 100% deposit up to $100 for the first-time depositors. Trust me, I would take the $100. So in the Bama Wake Forest game, Andrew Pinckney, his line is set at a 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. Drew Williamson, 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. And then Wake Forest, Rhett Lauder, his line is set at 9.5 strikeouts. Brock Wilkin has 3 lines here, 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs, 2.5 total hit, bases, and over a half or under a half RBI. And then Nick Kurtz, 2.5 total bases. So I picked out one play from each team here. For Alabama, I like Drew Williamson higher than 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. This higher prop is 6-3 in his last 9 games. However, it's Rhett Lauder, one of the best pitchers in the country. This is not one of my starred plays, one of my favorite plays of the day. I'll let you know when that's coming. And here is one of my 3 favorite picks of the day. Brock Wilkin, higher than 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. It's 7-1 in his last 8 games against Luke Holman. Give me Brock Wilkin. I think he gets the job done for us. So that's one leg. I have a 3-leg player prop parlay here going on underdog that I'm going to give out that would pay 6 times your money. So just prepare for me to run through some underdog props on every game today. Game number 2 is Virginia and Duke. Now, we have a listed starter for Virginia, and I'm projecting one for Duke. Virginia, they are going to start Connolly early. He's 11-2 with a 3.35 ERA, 90 strikeouts, 20 walks in 75.1 innings. He has a 5.88 ERA in his last 3 appearances, and he was their midweek starter for the whole, I would say, first 3/5 of the season until Nick Parker got injured. Then Connolly Early moves to the weekend, and he has not been good. The last 4 starts against high majors and East Carolina included, he has a 6.56 ERA. Do with that what you will. It didn't affect him his last start against East Carolina. However, I think you got to factor that in somehow. And then for Duke, I'm projecting that Alex Gow is going to start. He didn't start yesterday. They started Andrew Healy. But Gow has started the most games for this team this season. He's 3-3 with a 4.62 ERA, 68 strikeouts, 28 walks in 60.1 innings. And he had a 3.25 ERA in his 2 regional appearances. However, that ERA is a little bit more inflated if you flex it out to his last 4 appearances. But I just chose to do it when the lights were the brightest. He pitched quite well. Duke is 12-8 on the road, 3-1 at Virginia, where Virginia is 35-5 at the dish. So UVA is undefeated against non-conference teams, and they only have 2 losses all year at home. 10 teams not named Duke. They have 3 losses at home, 2 teams named Duke. So I think my original handicap was great on this series. I took the over 2.5 games on the podcast, and I bet that. That was one of my favorite picks this week. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it's hard to pick a mismatch with Duke the way they handle their pitching staff. So you really have to bet them game by game and address how their bullpen's doing. And I have my trusty sheet here of all the bullpen status for the week. Pitched in game one here for Virginia, Nick Parker, 102 pitches. So I think he's done for the week. Jake Berry, 36. Jay Wolfolk, 10. And Evan Blanco only threw one pitch, one out, a ground ball there. So I think there's a good chance we'll see Wolfolk or Blanco here in game two. I think Berry, they might wait for game three. And then for Duke, Andrew Healy threw 39 pitches, Owen Prosh, 33, Bielinson, 10, and Fran Oschel threw 34. And James Tallon closed the game with 21 pitches. So I think that the only one I'm crossing off here that's not going to pitch in this second game is Healy. But he had 39 pitches. It's not unheard of to bring a guy back the day later after 39. That's just how Duke operates with their pitching staff. So I think Virginia is not going to get swept at home. That's what I ultimately think. So I'm giving all the credit in the world to Duke for competing, and I'd love nothing more than Alex Mooney, a kid from my neck of the woods, to go play in Omaha. But I just lean that I lean Virginia to win game two here. I've already diced this one up how I wanted to, and I have a good play here and as a future. So I'm not going to bet Virginia. However, I think that they have. I think they will win this game. I think they'll force a game three in their friendly confines. I don't think they're getting swept at home. For underdog, Virginia, I'll run through all the picks again. Just in case you guys hear one that you like better than the one that I'm going to give out. Kyle Teal, his line for RBIs is set at a half. For hits, runs, and RBIs set at 2.5, and total bases set at 2.5. Jake Geloff, 2.5 total bases is his line. Then for Duke, 2.5 total bases on Jade Beshears, half RBI on Beshears, 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs on Beshears. Then MJ Metz, 2.5 total bases. That one, if he's hitting a home run, he's going over. If not, he's going under just because he's having trouble running. They're zooming in on him running the bases today. It was like the first time we saw him run bases this postseason and just gimping around. He had trouble stopping after beating out an infield ground ball, ran like halfway down the right field line and then turned around. And then also just kind of like cruised into third base. So I don't think he's going to hit a triple, that's for sure. And the only way that he cashes it is if he hits home run or three singles, because I don't know if they're going to push him to get a double there. And then Alex Stone, his line is set at 2.5 total bases. So here's where I'm going with this. For Virginia, Kyle Teal, I like the higher than a half RBI. He's had 8 games with at least one RBI in his last 10 games. And then for Duke, I'm going with Jay Beshears, higher than 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. It's 6-1 in his last 7 games. I'd rather not fade MJ Metz just because there's a little bit of magic there and he might blast another home run. So I'd rather not lose on that. And like I mentioned, underdog, they're our brand new sponsor here. Not brand new, we've had them before, but it's fantasy football season and Best Ball Mania 4 is here, and Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes plus plenty of ways to win with NBA, NHL, and MLB and college baseball player prop parlays. So head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, It's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Okay. Game number three on the Saturday slate is Kentucky and LSU. Pitching here, neither is confirmed. However, you know, Paul Skeens is probably going to throw for LSU. For Kentucky, I think they threw off the first time they played LSU. They didn't even want to mess with Skeens in game one, but they actually put up four runs on Skeens that first time they faced him. I think they'll end up throwing off again here. Travis Smith, I think they'll throw here. He did throw last Friday as well against Ball State. So even though Zach Lee could come back on full rest, I think they just elect to throw off, throw Travis Smith. He's 4-3 with a 5.28 ERA, 39 strikeouts, 24 walks, 44.1 innings. He has a 9 ERA in his last three appearances. Like I mentioned, I don't think this is like a winning move. I think they're trying to play the long game. As we know, it's tough to beat LSU with Skeens on the mound, but as you get into that bullpen, or once Ty Floyd comes out of the game too and you get into the bullpen in game two, that is how you beat LSU in a three-game series. So I think that Kentucky's trying to attack it the smart way there. However, it's basically a punt in game one with Paul Skeens going. He's 11-2 with a 190 ERA, 179 strikeouts, 17 walks, 99.1 innings. He has a 0.79 ERA in his last five appearances. The guy's just insane right now. The Cats are 11-11 on the road too, so that's not that great. LSU, they're 13-7 at the box. I wrote that down. That doesn't seem right. Maybe I miswrote that. I'm going to try to fix that stat as I'm still reading off this handicap here. They're 2-1 against Kentucky this season. They won Skeens' start by run rule. They beat them by 10. Then they lost game two, and they won game three 7-6. I already gave this play out on our show on Wednesday before this price jumped up to -270. I liked the money line in the parlay. I liked the -1.5. Now it's -2.5. I would still actually take it at -105. I think that's good enough here on a day that you're not going to be able to find many plays that are near even money. And like I mentioned, I was going to fix that stat. 13-7 didn't seem right. It's 31-7 at Alex Box. So thank you, Noah, for fixing that. For this game, I think you just got to play LSU in every which way that you can find possible. Like I mentioned, -2.5 and money line in a parlay. That's the type of deal here. For underdog, Kentucky. We'll run through these plays here that they are offering for this game. Jackson Gray for Kentucky, his line is set at 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. Grant Smith has a line at just a half hit. And then for LSU, Paul Skeens' line is at 9.5 strikeouts. Dylan Cruz has four lines here, 2.5 total bases, 1.5 hits, just a half RBI, and 3.5 hits, runs, and RBIs combined. And then Hayden Travinsky, 2.5 total bases. Tommy White, 2.5 total bases. So here's where I'm going for this game. For Kentucky, my favorite pick here is the higher than a half hit for Grant Smith. He has had at least one hit in 10 of his last 11 games here, but he's facing Paul Skeens. So I can understand why it's set at just a half. However, he is on a pretty good roll here with just getting one hit in a game. So I like the chances of that happening best here over Jackson Gray's 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs prop. For LSU, I think you got to go Paul Skeens. Higher than 9.5 strikeouts. This is 6-2 in his last 8 games. He's had at least 10 strikeouts in 6 of his last 8 games, and he had 13 against Kentucky. That's tied for his second most this season in strikeouts. I also had a bonus play for LSU because this was another really good trend that I saw. However, it's not one of my favorites of the day, but it was a good trend. Hayden Travinsky, I like his higher than 2.5 total bases. That's 8-2 in his last 10 games. What's up, Lane Elliott? He is in the live chat. Shout out to you. It is 5:54, and he's in here talking college baseball with us. Love it. I forgot to mention this. the series props, the live series props, they're updated. Duke and Virginia after game one, where the Blue Devils won game one. There's a stat that the NCAA is just shoving down our throats this year. 79% of the teams that win game one have won their super regional series. I think if there's a team that can go against that trend, it's Virginia. They have the hitting to do it, and they have the pitching staff to do it. They're plus 135 now. I think that's worth it to play that instead of the money line, because if you roll over Virginia's money line, it won't equate to that same amount bet on Virginia plus 135 to win the series. So I think that's a good way to attack that series if you want something on Virginia against Duke, because just right now Virginia is minus 185 to win game two, and if they open up at minus 185 to win game three, you're winning a little bit less than what you would if you added what you won and bet that on the plus 135, if that makes sense for everybody there. We move on to Florida and South Carolina. Now, I mentioned that because Florida is now minus 450 to win this series, and South Carolina plus 340. I mean, South Carolina had the lead for about, I don't know, six innings of that game one. And now they have Jack Mahoney on the mound, who I think is the best pitcher between these two teams in this series. These are listed pitchers, so there's a very, very good chance of us seeing them tomorrow. As we know, it's college baseball. One of them might get scratched, or maybe a beat writer didn't know what they were talking about. However, the South Carolina the South Carolina media department, they put the starting pitcher matchup in the game right up after game one. So for Florida, you can expect to see Hurston Waldrop. He's 8-3 with a 4.54 ERA, 129 strikeouts, 46 walks in 85.1 innings, a .228 batting average against, and a .290 ERA in his last three appearances. However, he did give up five earned runs against South Carolina in six innings earlier this season. And for South Carolina, Jack Mahoney's going. He's 7-3 with a 4.05 ERA, 85 strikeouts, 20 walks in 80 innings, with a 3.13 ERA in his last four appearances, and only gave up two runs against Florida in his five innings earlier this season. For the play here, game one between these two teams was a prize fight between two top boxers, as greatly mentioned by Nick De La Torre. Jack Mahoney, like I mentioned, I think he's the best starting pitcher in the Super Regional, in my opinion, and I think that helps the Cox get across the line in game two. And look for South Carolina to exhaust all options for a win. Like, they're going home if they don't win, so you can expect it full throttle till the bottom of the ninth inning. They will exhaust every option that they have left in that bullpen. And to go over their pitching situation here, South Carolina threw James Hicks only for 56 pitches, so he might be able to come back as a reliever in game three. Will Sanders threw 46, so I don't think we'll expect him tomorrow, but he will be available for game three as well. And Nick Proctor only threw 17. Of course, he could come back and throw tomorrow. Florida, Brandon Sproat, 105 pitches, probably his last ever outing in Condren Family Ballpark. Great outing for him. He struggled early, persevered. It was a great start. And Cade Fisher threw 28 pitches. He could probably come back tomorrow. And Brandon Neely closed out the game 16 pitches. He could, of course, pitch in game two as well. So my play here for this game, I like the plus 1.5 on South Carolina. I think that they're actually live to win the game. However, we saw them just lose 5-4 in game one. I think that it's going to be another close game. I think you got to get a piece of South Carolina here. Shout out to Durko Gaming, 5:59 a.m. He goes, TCU was a great call yesterday. Can't believe you're up doing the Lord's work. Bless you. Thanks, Durko, dude. I enjoy it. There wouldn't be another thing that I'd rather be doing right now than talking college baseball during the postseason. Just what I think is the second best postseason. Like, no offense to college baseball fans, I really love March Madness, but I mean, this is like right up there next to it. I love a good bracket in general. Every postseason except for the NBA playoffs, I think is great. So Moving on to the underdog props here for Florida and South Carolina. Jack Caglione has three lines up next to his name. The first one is a half RBI, so either higher or lower there. 2.5 total bases, 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. Then Wyatt Langford, 2.5 total bases. Josh Rivera, 2.5 total bases. And then for South Carolina, Ethan Petrie has three lines, 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs, or just a half RBI, or 2.5 total bases. Cole Messina, 2.5 total bases, and Will Tippett, just a half hit. My favorite plays for both teams here in this game are Wyatt Langford. I like him to go actually lower than 2.5 total bases. It's 6-3 in his last 9 games played. And for South Carolina, Ethan Petrie, also lower than 2.5 total bases, 7-2 in his last 9. I think both guys are facing great pitchers. So I think there's a good chance that, those could happen. However, not some of my favorite props today. Like I mentioned earlier, Brock Wilken, I like his over or higher 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. And I like Paul Skenes higher than 9.5 strikeouts. Use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit up to $100. Let's jump into game number 5 of the day. It's Tennessee in Southern Miss. Listed pitching matchup here in the Vols corner. It is Andrew Lindsey. He's 3-2 with a 2.40 ERA, 64 strikeouts, 17 walks in 63.2 innings, a 2.09 batting average against him, and a 1.23 ERA in his last 3 appearances. And for Southern Miss, it's Billy Oldham. He's 8-3 with a 4.33 ERA, 84 strikeouts, 23 walks in 72.2 innings with a 2.26 batting average against him, a 3.44 ERA in his last 4 appearances. Brandon Wyvrat. Sorry if I butchered the last name there. Wyvrat. He goes, I wake up and listen to Noah on the back deck with my coffee talking baseball. Love it. Let's go, Brandon. I wouldn't have it any other way. And I don't know if I displayed Durko's comment. I'll do that while I touch on this game. Tennessee, they're, I mean, I've said it all second half of the season long. They're just 5-12 on the road. Southern Miss, they're 26-5 at Pete Taylor Park. I think that the Vols are going into a hornet's nest here. I think that all the talking between the two fan bases back and forth the whole week is going to play to a very nice home atmosphere for Southern Miss as this community looks to send Scott Barry to Omaha in his last weekend ever as head coach in Hattiesburg. Tennessee's regional, in my opinion, just felt a little lucky. I will say they got a big win on the road against Clemson and the Clemson regional. However, they had their offense was stymied by Caden Grace until they scratch a runner on base against him. They dig into the bullpen, Zane Denton, 3-run bomb, tie game. They were losing that game and they had no business winning it until they got into extra innings. Cam Cannarella gets tossed. The whole mood of the stadium, of the crowd, of the Clemson team gets changed. And Tennessee scores the next half inning. And Clemson packs up. They have to play 8 hours later. They lose to Charlotte in the game that they really shouldn't have lost, but they were without Cam Cannarella because he got suspended a game because he was ejected. And Tennessee played Charlotte twice. And Charlotte was a team that was barely over 500 in Conference USA play. I just question that the Vols got here legitimately. Like, that's my only point here. Because I feel there's a little bit of I said it with MJ Metz. You don't want to get caught fading magic with the whole Duke thing right now. I don't want to get caught fading magic with Southern Miss sending their coach on a joyride to Omaha in his last season ever. This thing, CLV, I said it on Wednesday. Tanner Hall was not going to pitch this game. He threw like 150 pitches over the weekend. Come on, guys. Use common sense. Southern Miss was like plus 115 when we recorded that podcast. Now the odds are set at. Sorry, I haven't even been reading the odds for these games. I apologize. The odds for this one, Tennessee is minus 180. They've been steamed up to minus 180 after Tanner Hall was not throwing, which we all knew. Southern Miss, they're now plus 145. Total set at 10, minus 1.5 on Tennessee is minus 120. Southern Miss, plus 1.5, minus 110. I said it on Wednesday. I'm just not – I think Tennessee's the right pick. And go ahead, lay the minus 180. However, if you liked it, you should have bet it earlier before Tanner Hall. We all – I mean, it's not logical to throw a guy on 4 days rest after he threw 150 pitches on a weekend. CLV only works, though, if the team wins. I think a lot of people are still doubting the Southern Miss pitching staff, and Coach Ostrander, the Wizard of Oz over there, he just gets things to work. And Billy Oldham, I think that people don't have enough respect on what he's done this season. He's 8-3 with a 4.33 ERA, 84 strikeouts, 23 walks, and 72.2 with a 2.26 opponent's batting average against and a 3.44 ERA in his last four appearances. Andrew Lindsay, he's been great. I mean, I'm not knocking him. He's 3-2 with a 2.40 ERA, 64 strikeouts, 17 walks, and 63.2, a 2.09 batting average against him, and he has a 1.23 ERA in his last three appearances. I'm just saying, I'm not messing around with the minus 180 against the Southern Miss team when Tennessee's on the road and they have a terrible road record, and they only beat the one seed at their place once because the one seed got bounced when I thought it was just a little bit, you know, lucky. I thought Clemson came out and they sleptwalked in that game against Charlotte where they were eliminated after the 14 inning thriller against Tennessee the night before. So I think Southern Miss finds a way to steal this series. I feel confident that they win game two with Tanner Hall on the mound against a Dolander that, you know, hasn't looked amazing all year long. And he's actually not had the best stretch as of late either. So I think Tanner Hall gives Southern Miss the game two victory. I think this one goes game three. I bet it over 2.5 games. I think that was the right way to bet it here because you can get the Tennessee win or you can get the Southern Miss win if the series goes three. I think Tennessee is the right pick in game one, like I said. But I'm not betting it at minus 180, and I didn't even want it at minus 140 when it opened there. No underdog lines for this Tennessee-Southern Miss series. So. No idea why not, but that's just the case. The next game here on the slate is at 6 o'clock. It's between Texas and Stanford. Texas is minus 150 now. Another game. We'll talk about it in a little bit, but Stanford plus 120. There's some reverse line movement on this game big time. Total set at 13. Texas -1.5 at plus 100, +1.5 on Stanford. Is minus 130. We have confirmed pitchers for this game as well. Lucas Gordon for Texas is 7-1 with a 2.45 ERA, 98 strikeouts, 29 walks in 95.1 innings, and a 2.17 opponent's batting average against him, a 1.88 ERA in his last four appearances. And for Stanford, Joey Dixon is going to throw. He's 6-0 with a 4.99 ERA, 78 strikeouts, 39 walks in 74 innings pitched, a 2.40 batting average against him, and a 4.24 ERA in his last four appearances. So like I mentioned earlier, I wanted to touch on it, but this is another game where it's a CLV brag. If you jumped on Texas when they were plus money, props to you. However, it's not a lock to win. In order for CLV to work, the team has to win. And against Stanford, they haven't lost the Super Regional that they've hosted in school history. They're 8-0 at home in Super Regionals and 23-8 at Sunken Diamond this season. And Texas is just 11-7 on the road. Like we mentioned with Tanner Hall on Wednesday, he probably wouldn't throw. Quinn Matthews threw 160 pitches over the weekend. It's just not logical to start him on game one on Saturday when he just threw, I think he threw 60 or 70 pitches on Monday. It's just not logical. So, again, I mentioned it on Wednesday. If you wanted a piece on Texas, grab it then, because now at minus 150, the value is completely switched over to Stanford here because I pride myself in betting on pitching. However, Stanford's lineup's super good. 1 through 9, it's super deep, and I could easily see them spoiling a Lucas Gordon start when they jump into the Texas bullpen here, because it's not that great. They have the two best pitchers in, like, I don't know about best pitchers. Quinn Matthews probably better, but Lucas Gordon in game one, LeBaron Johnson in game two. That's the best duo in this series. However, they don't have much behind him. They have Zane Morehouse, but that's one guy. And Tanner Witt in game three, he hasn't looked amazing after coming back from Tommy John. So Texas minus 150 is just too pricey. Stanford money line is the play for me if you're going to bet on this game. Now let's jump into the underdog. This is our last underdog game of the day. It is Texas Stanford. Dylan Campbell has three lines here for Texas. 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs, 2.5 total bases, and just a half RBI that you can bet on for Campbell. Also, Peyton Powell, 2.5 total bases, and Garrett Guillemette, 2.5 total bases. Then for Stanford, Tommy Troy has three lines, just a half RBI, 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs, or 2.5 total bases. And then also Alberto Rios, 2.5 total bases is the prop for him that they're offering here. The play for me is for Texas, it's Garrett Guillemette, lower than 2.5 total bases. He has not had three total bases in 8 straight games. I think that's a good play against the solid pitcher in Joey Dixon with an ERA under 5. And then for Stanford, the underdog play here from me is Tommy Troy, higher than 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. This is 14-4 in his last 18 games. So I think that's a good play here for this game on Stanford. Now we move on to the next game, also at 6 o'clock. It is Indiana State against TCU. The Horned Frogs are minus 160 on the money line. The Sycamores plus 130. Total set at 10. Indiana State plus 1.5, minus 145. TCU minus 1.5, plus 115. Shout out to Moneyline Ed. He goes Oral Roberts and then just a sad face. Trust me. Yeah, that was terrible. Terrible beat. And then Durko Gaming, he goes, duh, college baseball experience, insert Colby's voice. I love it. TCU, Indiana State, they don't have listed pitchers here, so I'm projecting Sam Stoutenborough to start for TCU. He's 4-0 with a 4.48 ERA, 53 strikeouts, 15 walks in 60.1 innings, a .272 batting average against him, and he has a 5.43 ERA in the last two season play. So in his tournament start and the regional start, he has a 5.43 ERA in those two. And then for Indiana State, Connor Fenlong, he's 10-2 in this season. He's a 3.33 ERA, 70 strikeouts, 29 walks, and 108 innings pitched. Opponents are hitting .224 against him, and he has a 0.97 ERA in his last 5 appearances. However, he did give up 4 runs to Iowa in his last start. So I cashed some bets in this game one, but it didn't exactly go how I thought it would. Matt Jacek didn't fold for Indiana State, and he actually threw 8 really good innings. Now Connor Fenlong, the Missouri Valley pitcher of the year, is bumping for the Sycamores. And with the way that Jacek looked, if Fenlong can repeat it, I think that the trees are live. My pick here is Indiana State plus 1.5, and there were no underdog lines listed here for us. So we move on to our 8th, and I wanted to run through the bullpen just for everybody here. Cole Klecker, 101 pitches, so he's probably done for the week. That freshman had a hell of a day. I think he had double-digit strikeouts, or actually it was 9 strikeouts against Indiana State. And then Luke Savage, their top bullpen guy, threw 27 pitches. I think he could probably come back here tomorrow, but 27 is quite a bit if you're looking to pitch him in all 3 games this weekend. For Indiana State, like I mentioned, Jacek threw 8 innings. He came back out for the 9th but couldn't get an out. So he threw 107 pitches, and Zach Davidson threw 9. So Indiana State's pen situation is great. I think they're live here in game 2 to win it against TCU, if they're able to keep the offense down. And I think that Fenlong, being the Missouri Valley pitcher, Missouri Valley Conference Pitcher of the Year, has a good shot at doing that if Jay Schick just did it yesterday. Last game of the day here is Oregon and Oral Roberts. The odds on this game, Oregon is minus 140. The Golden Eagles are plus 110. The total is set at 11.5. The Ducks, minus 1.5, plus 105. ORU, plus 1.5, minus 135. This game, take my projections with a grain of salt here. I think I do a really good job most of the time with these projections. Oral Roberts is a little bit easier than Oregon. Oregon, they threw a lot of pitchers yesterday, and we'll get to that in a second on the pitching report for this one. Turner Spoljarek has started in this spot in the rotation the last two turns through. So I think it's a good guess that he's going to start. Spoljarek is 7-0 with a 6.28 ERA, 31 strikeouts, 20 walks in 53 innings. Opponents are hitting 308 against him, and he has a 7.96 ERA in his last three appearances. For Oral Roberts, Harley Gollert, 10-1 with a 4 ERA, 82 strikeouts, 30 walks is my projection here. He's thrown 83.1 innings on the year with a 2.48 batting average against him, and he has a 6.92 ERA over the last month. So not sold on either one of these guys to throw good. I can't trust either one of them with their recent numbers. And I don't know how the Golden Eagles are planning on bouncing back from giving up 9 unanswered runs to lose a game where they had an 8-0 lead. The way that they can do it is if they get into this Oregon bullpen early once again. And touching on this bullpen here, it's in rough shape after yesterday where they gave up 8 runs in the third inning. Grayson Grenzell threw 62 pitches, Dylan McShane 22, Ian Umlett 16. Those three guys got rocked, and they were part of the 8 runs that were given up. Logan Mercado, who's a starter usually, came in when they were down like 8-2. For some reason, they threw a starter in that position. Usually, I mean, if I was a coach, I would be playing for game 2 or game 3. But props to them, they came back and won this. Mercado threw 62 pitches, Matt Dallas threw 14, and Josh Malaris threw 15. So Dallas and Malaris, we could probably see here in game 2. But all those four guys prior, Mercado threw too many pitches to bring him back in game 2, but he could probably throw game 3. Same with Grenzell. However, Grenzell got rocked, and McShane threw 22. I'm not through 16, but I don't expect them to see this series after getting rocked. So that's the pitching situation in this game. But yeah, Oral Roberts has to get into that pen. That's how they'll win this game. But they did that part yesterday. They did the hard part and putting up runs on the starter and then the first two relievers. But they didn't do anything else after against a pretty weak bullpen, in my opinion. As for the Ducks, they've already seen the best that Oral Roberts will provide. And that was Jacob Hall, who threw 77 pitches. Jacob Widener, the big lefty with a weird arm angle, threw 33 pitches. And they had traffic on him on the base paths the whole time he was on the mound. And then Dalton Patton threw 21 pitches. And their star closer, Cade Denton, threw 6. They had traffic on the base paths against all these guys, and they hit the game-winning hit against the Summit League Pitcher of the Year in Cade Denton, who's their star closer in Oral Roberts, and they chased ORU's ace, Jacob Hall, early. There weren't any cheapies mixed in either. Like, they were hitting the ball hard the whole second half of that game against Oral Roberts, Oregon was. So I want Oral Roberts to win. I want a 4-seed to go to Omaha. However, I don't know how they bounce back after blowing yesterday's game. Give me the over 11.5. I don't trust either one of these starting pitchers here. And I don't trust Oregon's pitching staff. And Oregon already tagged or used best pitchers that they can throw at the Ducks here. So I like the over 11.5 quite a bit. And I think that Oregon wins. I think they pull off the 2-game sweep. Minus 140 is the pick here for me. So that wraps the pod. Everything from me there's a couple of people watching live. Thank you. If you have any questions, throw them in the YouTube live chat or the Twitch live chat, Twitter. Sorry, but I can't see those on StreamYard, the service that we use for the college experience to go live. But I'll run through everything that I'm playing here. And like I mentioned, full clarity, I live in Michigan. Underdog fantasy is not legal in the state of Michigan. That is not an Underdog problem. It is the Michigan government's problem because they haven't legalized Underdog yet, or haven't granted them access into the state. But my three picks here for the Underdog play of the day for me is Brock Wilkin, higher than 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. Paul Skenes, higher than 9.5 strikeouts. And Garrett Guillemette, lower than 2.5 total bases. Use code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match up to $100. And then I've got three plays for today's games. I think that you have to play LSU minus 2.5 now at minus 105. If you listened on Wednesday, shout out to you. You got the minus 1.5. You got a money line parlay much more value, I'll say. However, I still think that you got to play it. And then I like South Carolina at plus 1.5, minus 125 against Florida. I just think they're going to keep it close. They got Mahoney on the mound. I think he's the best pitcher between the two teams this series. I think that I think he'll deliver them the win. However, I want that plus 1.5 in case they lose by one again, like they did in game one. And then probably my favorite pick of the day, Oral Roberts in Oregon, over 11.5, minus 120. I just can't trust either one of these starting pitchers, and Oregon already rocked some of the best pitchers that Oral Roberts will show them. And like I mentioned earlier, the series price on Virginia, plus 135, I think that's the only team that I would entertain jumping in on here to come back and pull a reverse sweep and win games two and game three against the team that they lost to here. Virginia has the starting pitcher depth. They have three starting pitchers that they could still throw out. They're throwing Connolly early in game two. They still have Jack O'Connor and Brian Edgington that they'll throw when need be. The more that you play Duke, I think that the more you have a chance of wearing down some of these arms, just the way that they're going to pitch. They're going to not let any of their guys throw more than really 30 pitches, and they'll bring them out on Sunday. And I think that's when you might have best success against them, when they've already been taxed for 60 pitches earlier in the weekend. I think that's the only way that you can really attack any of these new series prices here. So shout out to all the live listeners. Thanks for listening. That is my slate today. Follow me on Twitter at 77NB. I'll be tweeting all these out along with the link to get to my pitching projections for the games today. Shout out to Matt Grissom and Quentin Mills of the NCAA Insiders. I was working with them on these listed and projected starters, and they tagged me on their post. They made a nice graphic of all the pitchers that I found and that they found, and we worked together on putting that out. So if you prefer a very nice graphic with some advanced analytics on that as well, that is for you guys at NCAA Insiders. The Sports Gambling Podcast Network has everything for you. If you are interested in the Belmont Stakes, shout out to the Notorious OTB podcast with Chase Sessoms, a.k.a. the Wolf of Oaklawn, and also Malcolm Banford. I don't know if he was on that show with Chase, but those two, I believe, were on the show with the Sports Gambling Podcast guys. I was on them. I was on their show talking about college baseball just a couple days ago, where I gave out that LSU-TCU money line parlay on their show as well, and just a bunch of other great shows on SGPN that we have to offer. A bunch of people like me sweating out their niche sports as well, doing the Lord's work over there in their favorite sports that they like to cover. So that'll do it for me. Thank you guys for listening. You've been experiencing the better side of college baseball with the College Baseball Experience. Adios, amigos.